Good evening, brothers and sisters. God bless you all. We're very happy to share this moment with you all. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Thank you for His mercy and His manifestation. Glory to God. Forever and ever. You may take your seats, please. I would like to share testimonies. A testimony of a little girl, a 10-year-old girl, who was told by her teacher, who teaches religion in school, told her and all her schoolmates that they should present a paper on religion, that they should choose a topic freely, and she chose the Gospel according to Matthew, and she presented it. And her presentation was so beautiful that the religion teacher spoke with the principal of the school, and they recorded the explanation. What were most surprising for them, and they told mom and dad, this little girl who both attended church, is that they had read the Bible many times, that particular chapter, but that they had never understood it in the way how she explained it. Why? Because she gave a spiritual explanation. And the little girl said, yes, because I am going to the church. Sister Mary Louisa teaches us. And at this time, they are watching the live streams on the internet. Glory to the name of the Lord. That is the work of God, a wonderful work that the Lord, every day, in a surprising way, is teaching us and allowing us to live. Glory to God. Let us rise, and we are going to read in our Bibles. Let us read in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter 2, let us read in the scriptures the teaching from the Apostle Paul. Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to read verse number 3. For the honor and glory of the Lord, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Amen. You may take your seats. We're going to preach tonight about what we just read, that at another time we were in the desires of the flesh. And the title of the sermon is, Do Not Let the Desires of the Flesh Entice Us. Do not let the desires of the flesh entice us. It is to attract, to drag us, to captivate us. That we should not let the desires of the flesh entice us, and that by those desires. And it is what the Apostle Paul was teaching and was telling them, that the flesh imposed, enforced. The flesh is the physical body of ours, or us human beings. And it compelled and forced the spiritual body, which is our spirits. Our spirit also has a body. That is why it's called a spiritual body. Our spiritual body has legs and arms and everything. And it is a spirit, and it is called a spiritual body. The physical body imposed on the spiritual body to do the will of the flesh. The will of the flesh was sin or materialism, meaning carnality unleashes materialism, and its main consequence is that it drives us from God, drives us away from God, and also lose eternal life. And here, the Bible clearly states that we once walked before knowing the Lord. Those who were foreigners and now were adopted to become children of God, to partake of the gospel, they once walked in the desires of the flesh, doing the will of the flesh, because that is what the flesh does, to do its will and impose its will over the spirit, over the mind, over the heart, over the conscience of human beings, and to impose thoughts as well, thoughts of the flesh, pleasures and the desires of it that the devil places on human beings to entice them into sinning, knowing the weaknesses of each person and leading them towards temptation, so that human beings fail before the Most High. And that is why it states in the desires of the flesh, as the title of the sermon, Do Not Let the Desires of the Flesh Entice Us. doing the will of the flesh and the thoughts, it says, that is fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we were by nature children of wrath. What does it mean, children of wrath? Children of wrath means not that we are become angry, but rather we were subject to God's wrath and His punishment due to the sin we were committing by allowing, by letting our flesh to be enticed by the sin, enticed by the wicked one. And this sermon is supplemented by what the Bible teaches us in Genesis. Let us read in Genesis from the beginning also. It talked about what happened with human beings. Because they followed the desires of the flesh. And so the Bible teaches that the Lord was so sad that He had decided to punish humankind and only give them 120 years old to live, precisely because of following the desires of the flesh, the physical body, and not doing the will of God and follow their conscience or follow God's love. And so Genesis chapter number 6 teaches us. We read verse number 3, and the Lord said, "My spirit shall not strive with man forever," meaning the Lord was began to strive, meaning argue or have wrath against human beings because they allowed their flesh entice them. And for that reason, the Lord said that He was not going to strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh. That was the explanation, that because he is flesh, he follows the desires of the flesh and he allows the desires of the flesh entice them since the beginning of humankind. That was already happening, and that is why he gave a sentence that his days, it said, shall be 120 years. And then in Ecclesiastes, let us read also as a teaching to us from the Old Testament. Let us read in Ecclesiastes chapter number 11. Ecclesiastes 11, verse number 10. He started to teach us about the desires of the flesh, but the desires of the flesh are not only adultery or fornication or lust or lewdness, but rather the desires of the flesh are also what the Bible tells us, anger. Anger, like when the sun sets on the anger of a human being and it leads them to sin. And that is carnality. And those are the desires of the flesh, because the flesh needs to vent that anger, to vent that feeling of revenge. And that is carnality. Those are the desires of the flesh. Whereas the spirit would like, the spiritual body would like, with the help of the Holy Spirit, that it wouldn't be like this, that there was control or self-control over that desire that comes from the flesh to be angry or sin against someone, to offend someone, to slander or disparage someone. So the flesh imposes its will and it dominates the spirit. And that is why sin comes. And he wrote here, Solomon wrote, also speaking about youth, about adolescence, about the feeling of responsibility that there must be, even in young men and young women, so that what this verse states won't happen, which is that evil will prevail in the flesh. Verse 10, therefore remove sorrow. Sorrow, it also uses vexation, meaning anger, from your heart. For childhood and youth are vanity. And also, now going to the New Testament and the Gospel according to Luke, let us read chapter number 8. Luke chapter 8, We read in the parable of the sower about the seed that fell on thorns, meaning that at certain moments in life, there are many people who receive the word of the Lord gladly, but unfortunately, the pleasures of this life and the desires of the flesh impose, enforce the spiritual body, the spirit, the soul, the heart, the spiritual mind, and leads them to sin and materialism. And that is why that seed brings no fruit in their hearts. Luke 8, verse 14 states, "Now the one that fell among thorns are those who, when they heard, they enjoyed the gift of prophecy in the church. They heard the manifestation of the Holy Spirit and His beautiful words through the gift of prophecy or the visions or dreams. But what happened? That going out, they are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and which have to do with the desires of the flesh and bring no fruit to maturity." Also, let us read Romans chapter 7 to see how the Apostle Paul explained what the reality is that human beings get to live, towards which the Apostle Paul felt almost powerless, saying, "Oh, wretched man of me, who will deliver me of this body of death, of this flesh that is sold to sin, that forces me, that my members sin and become instruments of sin, even though in my insides there is a law, the law of conscience, that rebels and attempts to fight against the law of my members and this sinful body, or against the desires of the flesh, and it has not managed to endure and withstand it, and it always leads me to sin inevitably." That was the reality that the Apostle Paul expressed. And many people, there are many people who say that they can't, that in life, things come about, temptations come to them, and they're not able to overcome their temptations, and they sin once and again, and they attempt and fight on, but they say, "I can't, and I try, but I can't." Well, we've already taught that we must pray. We've already taught that we must flee, that that's what we ought to do, or rebuke or reprimand people. And in that way, we do not give in to those temptations, especially not to be seduced or enticed by the flesh, by the desires of the flesh. And so verse number 18 states it when he said, "For I know that in me," that is in my flesh, he's talking about that physical body of his, "nothing good dwells, for to will is present with me." Will meaning his conscience, his heart or the mind, which is different than the thoughts. They are the ones the devil brings many times, and they do not belong to us. And you say, "Why am I thinking this? I'm not like this." Because these are traps the wicked one places, but our hearts are for God, our minds are for God. And so you do not fall into that trap and you say, "Satan, go away from my mind," or your heart should say, "Go away, respect me, I love God. And I know that this is you who is bothering me and putting desires in my flesh, but my spirit prevails, my spirit is stronger, go away." And the devil will flee when you uncover him. The devil will work until you realize that he is the devil working. In a marriage, when a married couple realizes this and they say, "Oh, this is the wicked one bringing these setbacks, we're not going to please the devil, let's talk things out," and everything changes, the devil flees because the person did not set free rein to his desires of the flesh, but rather the person uncovered the devil, discovered him, and out of conscience and out of love for God, he reacted in time. And so it states in Romans 7, verse 23, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. The law of the mind is the soul, the conscience. It is the spirit, the spiritual body. And the law in my members, the physical body, that is the one that wars against the spirit, against the spiritual body, to impose and compel it, and bringing me into captivity, meaning it forces me, and it enslaves me, it drags me down, it entices me to the law of sin, which is in my members, materialism, that is, the materialism of carnality. Materialism is correlated to the desires of the flesh, that is in my body, in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death, is what the Apostle Paul stated. And then in Romans 8, verse number 7, he taught, saying, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, because the desires of the flesh, and that flesh that is also compelled by the wicked one wants to rebel against God, and it becomes an enemy to God, because it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Those who are in the flesh, when he said the flesh, it means in the physical body. Those who listen to the desires of the flesh, who follow the desires of the flesh, the pleasures of the flesh, by going away from the will of God. Those who do not have the strength, the willpower to oppose sin. That is what it means when he said here, those who are in the flesh. But also, it also means in the flesh, also refers to the law of Moses. And why does it talk about the flesh being the law of Moses? Because the law of Moses was physical, it was material. That's why the Apostle Paul drew this parallel. Whereas when the Apostle Paul said, for those who are in the spirit, those who follow the spiritual body, the soul, he was referring to the gospel when he talked about the spirit, that is the gospel. Why? Because the gospel is spiritual. The law of Moses was physical, and that is why it was correlated to the physical body, the flesh, and whereas the gospel is spiritual, and for that reason it is correlated to a spiritual body. And he said in verse number 9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. That is the gospel, the flesh, the law of Moses. But when he said, but in the spirit, you're not in the flesh, he also means the desires of the flesh, but in the will of the spirit, of the soul, the conscience of what God has sowed in our hearts. And those who have believed in the gospel, those who have believed in the spirit of God, those who have not been hard of heart, those who have tendered their hearts to love and follow God and to be transformed, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And also Romans 13 teaches us, the Apostle Paul taught about the desires of the flesh. Verse number 14, he said, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and because the Spirit loves the Lord, because the Spirit follows the gospel, because the Spirit delights in the Word of God, because the Spirit enjoys reading the Word of the Lord. It enjoys the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in our lives through the gift of prophecy, visions, dreams. All the teachings, the Bible studies, the doctrine, and the Spirit delights in it, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision. What does it mean, make no provision? Make no provision for what? For the flesh, for the desires of the flesh, meaning do not facilitate it. Do not lay the path for the desires of the flesh. Flee, prevent the desires of the flesh from having the free reign to show themselves, but rather flee, turn away, and discover the devil. Do not embrace those desires of the flesh. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. And then he taught about the desires of the flesh in verse number 13. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness. For example, a person who has to get drunk constantly says, I cannot control this vice of alcohol, and then gets drunk and he spent all his money of his salary by getting to get drunk, and he is irresponsible with his household affairs. Not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. That is carnality. That is materialism. Brothers and sisters, note that the desires of the flesh can also be shown in envy and strife, in drunkenness, in lewdness and lust. And also, the Bible teaches us in Colossians chapter number 2. We are going to read Colossians chapter number 2 about this sermon about the desires of the flesh, about not allowing the desires of the flesh entice us. Colossians 2, verse 18. The flesh and the desires of the flesh also come about with false doctrines and lying and deceiving teachings and wrong paths of perdition. Let no one cheat you of your reward, meaning eternal life. Take King delight in false humility and worship of angels, meaning believing and worshiping in angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. When he said his fleshly mind, he is talking about the flesh, especially fleshly thoughts, lies, and the pretentiousness of human beings who brag and boast, rising against the authority, against our eternal and supreme God, acting like they know more than the Lord, thus leading human beings astray from the path of truth, and also showing themselves through sin without any kind of fear towards the Most High. And also the Bible teaches us in the book of Hebrews about the example of Moses. What happened with Moses? In Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 24, the Bible teaches us that Moses was a man who was not enticed, captivated, attracted by the desires of the flesh. Why? Because he was the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And in Egypt, he could have enjoyed many benefits and pleasures in many fleshly desires. And he was able to have access to material riches. But Moses preferred to follow the path of conscience, of the spirit, of the will of God, of the love of God, and believe in a God with spirit and truth. Thus renouncing to the sacrifices, to the foreign gods, the idols, those who took away the glory of God. And thus Moses instead chose the path of persecution with the people of God, to give honor and glory to the Lord and fulfill the plan of the Most High. Verse number 24 states, so by faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy, here it is, the passing pleasures of sin. The passing pleasures of sin are the desires of the flesh, esteeming the reproach of Christ's greater riches, because he knew that he was following the Lord, because he knew about the great blessing that was coming for human beings, salvation, and the wonderful prophet that back then was being announced, though it was not necessarily a prophet, but rather the eternal and everlasting God himself in the midst of man, our Lord Jesus Christ. And it states that he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward, which was eternal life. And that is what must inspire us to always think about eternal life, so that we do not become enticed by the desires of the flesh. What a battle we have in front of us, brothers and sisters. This is what God intended to test us, to see what is there in our hearts, whether we are with the Lord, whether we are courageous, whether we are able and capable out of love for God to dominate our bodies, our flesh and its desires. Also, in James chapter number 4, teaching us, the Bible shows us those desires of the flesh that have to do with lewdness and lust that dwells in this material and physical body God gave us to test us. As the Lord Jesus rightly taught in our Sister Marlisa made it clear in a very profound fashion, a spiritual fashion, that the tree of knowledge of good and evil dwells within us, good in our spiritual body and evil in our physical body. And that they fight each other, but ultimately human beings choose which path to take. And that's what God intended, to know who is with him. And I know we all are with him. Glory to the name of the Lord. Who among you is with the Lord? Glory to God. And so verse 1 states in James 4, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasures that make people fight and get carried away down the path of pride, that war in your members? Those desires, those pleasures of the flesh. I repeat, it doesn't only have to do with things related to fornication and adultery, but rather all sins, that's carnality. Those are the desires of the flesh, because that is what the flesh wants us to do, to sin, to turn away from God. And that is what the devil longs for to happen in our lives. We're not going to please him, though. We are not going to allow it. Agreed. We are going to always remember, and we will always bear in mind this sermon and say, the flesh is working. The devil is working, bringing thoughts. The devil is now brooding temptations. I'm not going to pay attention. My spiritual body will prevail. My spirit, my soul, the Holy Spirit will help me. Verse 2 states, you lust and do not have, which is also a great sin many human beings commit, coveting and wanting more things, and that's why they do bad business, and that's why people fail. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. Those are the desires of the flesh. You fight in war, yet you do not have what you do not have because God is not with you. Why? Because when you are following the desire of the flesh, then you turn away from God, and God does not hear our prayers. Now let us read 1 John chapter 2, what the Apostle John taught about the reality of life of human beings in verse number 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, there it is, the lust of the flesh, the desires of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, which is the arrogance that dwells in human beings, to keep sinning and to get carried away by the desires of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. It does not come from the Father, but of the world. And this is vanity, for it is fleeting, and it destroys the soul, and it takes our salvation. It takes away our eternal life. It is passing. For that reason, we ask ourselves, how can we overcome this situation? What can we do as it pertains to this reality God decided us to live on earth? Those desires of the flesh, this physical body that compels us to go against the will of God, against our spirit, against our conscience. In Galatians chapter 5, the apostle Paul taught us And verse number 13, Galatians 5, verse 13, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. The Lord has given us this liberty. Liberty to what? To do what? Liberty from sin. Liberty from those desires of the flesh through the gospel, through our Lord Jesus Christ. He gave us this wonderful example that he never sinned. That's why we say today that we can attain perfection on this earth. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. He is talking about a spiritual liberty. He was saying that the law, the liberty under which God does not want to enslave us or impose anything on us, but rather he wants our conscience to be the one at work, that it is not an opportunity to abuse this liberty. We have seen the way the Holy Spirit in the church has taught us that it isn't through prohibition or threats, but rather through love and conscience, and with his manifestation in our lives through prophecy, visions, and dreams, just as it teaches us here to understand the fear of God, to love and respect the Lord, to follow his path, and to strive to overcome the desires of the flesh. And for that reason, it says, do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. And he added in verse 16, I say then, walk in the Spirit, or in the gospel, and in your spiritual life, in our spiritual body, may it be powerful and mighty. May it be so nourished by prayer, by praising, by reading the Bible, by the spiritual nurture that is wonderful, that today it is generally being shared through the internet, the sermons of our sister Maluisa, so that our spiritual body be so strong and mighty. And simply, whenever we see sin, we see it afar off and it doesn't faze us. That simply, whenever that happens, the devil will recognize it, he will identify it, and he will flee immediately. Because that tendency will have disappeared from our flesh, because that appetite will have disappeared from our being. For there has been true transformation, true effort, and we have become filled with God. Glory to the Lord. Let us become filled with God, brothers and sisters. Let us become filled with the Spirit, with his word. Let us read the Bible. Let us analyze the scriptures. Let us praise God. Let us pray. Let us seek the Lord. Let us remember our God. Let us pray before his presence so that our spiritual bodies may be great and mighty and strong as it pertains to the desires of the flesh. And thus, we are not enticed at any point that verse 16 be fulfilled in us. I say then, walk in the Spirit and shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 8, for he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting. 5, always eternal life is present in our lives. And also, chapter 5, verse 18 states, but if you are led by the Spirit, by this Holy Spirit, by the gospel, by the gift of prophecy, you are not under the law. We are no longer in the physical things, in the material things. We are no longer in the physical body, the sinful body that leads us towards sin, that leads us with its desires towards failure, towards condemnation. We are in the Spirit. We are led by the Spirit. We are in the spiritual things, in the Holy Spirit, in the love to God, in the manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts. And that is why he compared it, saying that we will go from the works of the flesh, to the desires of the flesh, to the life and the Spirit, which are the desires of the flesh. Adultery, verse 19, fornication, lewdness, uncleanness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies. If you're doing that, it is because you're still carnal. If you're carnal, it is because you're dwelling in materialism. And what the Holy Spirit said from the very beginning when the church began is that we should stay away from materialism, meaning from sin. Verse 21, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like of. And he compared it in verse 22 to the spiritual body, to the spirit, the manifestation that is wonderful of the Holy Spirit in the gospel in our hearts. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law, meaning it doesn't have to do anything that is physical or the physical body or the spirit desires of the flesh. That is what he is alluding to. Against such thing there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passion and desires. Glory to the Lord. That is the solution. And the second solution in addition to this one, so that we always have as a goal in our life, as an ultimate goal, is eternal life, which we find in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, the teaching from the Apostle Peter as to what we must do. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. It teaches us, beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, meaning the spiritual body, the spirit, the desires of the flesh. And he tells them why. Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, your honorable conduct among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of the visitation. We already know it, therefore. Another great motivation for us to not let the desires of the flesh entice us. Be a good testimony, so that the name of the Lord be exalted and glorified. Blessed is his name forever and ever. Let us rise and we are going to pray. Blessed Heavenly Father, we thank you with all our hearts for all your blessings. We love you and we worship you. May you allow us to understand every day this our spiritual reality, which you, God, have allowed us to live in this pilgrimage, in this life, so that with knowledge, Lord, we do not become prey of the wicked one and do not become captive under his claws, under his jaws, but rather, Lord, may we be preserved and confirmed in your path every day of our lives until we attain the greatest prize of eternal life. May it be so. May you all preserve us all and help us all. And may we all get to know that this is our reality. And may you help us so that every day our spiritual lives grow, our spiritual bodies grow, our soul, our consciousness, Lord. May it be so. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Grant us, Lord, this grace which we desire, O God. May our time be for you, for our spiritual growth, so that our spirits become strong, Lord. And in that way, we are not enticed by the desires of the flesh. May you, O God of glory, deliver us from witchcraft, from evil spirits, from the traps of the devil, from dangers of death, from spirits of illness, of this virus of death, from all the schemings of the wicked one, everything evil the devil is plotting to destroy our spiritual lives. May our God protect us and give us victory, preserve us and give us prosperity and guide us and support us and fill us with his Holy Spirit, give us new spiritual experiences. Lord, there are many brothers and sisters and young people who say, oh God, we want to have spiritual experiences with you. May you come to our lives. We want to speak in tongues. We want to prophesy. We want you to give us dreams, Lord. Lord, give them these blessings, spiritual blessings in abundance, so that they feel your presence and your manifestation that is full every day more and more. And may they have the motivation so that the growth of their spiritual lives happens, which is the one that will allow us to overcome our the tendencies, the imposition of the physical body, which tries us to get us to follow the desires of the flesh. O God of glory, bless the church worldwide. Bless everyone who is gathering, having fellowship with us. Give them many blessings for everything they're asking you for, according to your plan, what you deem best for them. Blessed Lord, heal them. Blessed Lord, give them a job. Blessed God, help them with their marriages so they get along and have love. Bless them, love God, and everything they start. Protect them and deliver us from evil. Thank you, Lord, for the church. Thank you, Lord, for our sister Maria Luisa. Give her your precious blessing every day more and more. And bless, O God of glory, your people as you have promised us, and that we see every day and wait in you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Glory to God. Let us sing, brothers and sisters. Chorus 118, Why Should I Sin? The name of the Lord. Blessed is our God. Brothers and sisters, a big hug to you all. May the Lord bless you and keep you.